Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Here we are. I don't know what day you'll be watching this, but...
Or listening.
Mm-hmm. But today, it's like the end of April. And yeah, Steven and I are sporting our hoodies because it is cold here in Canada. Mm. Like, way too cold. Like, the wind chill was like 15 degrees Fahrenheit this morning. We put our child on the bus who he refused to wear a coat because, you know, that's not cool. Anyway, so I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit low energy. I'm hoping that this, like, talking about all the really exciting stuff that we have to talk about today will help to
Liz.
To pep me up and
This is exciting
get me
stuff,
energy though. And help me. I'm drinking my coffee this morning through my those who are listening, my South Carolina mug, because I'm hoping to bring those warm vibes from the South up. I heard that Virginia may hit 90 degrees today, and it made me angry.
I don't want it to be 90.
I don't want it to be 90 in April, but I surely don't want it to be 15.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. Hopefully where you are today, on the day that you watch or listen to this, it will be the perfect weather for you. Some people like cold and windy and gray. They really do. But I'm not one of those people.
That sounded very negative.
No judgment. No judgment there. All right. Well, today we're going to talk to you about company policies and why that's so important to have. And, you know, Steven, company policies are one of those things where it's like, okay, do I just do this and stash it away because I'm supposed to have a company policy? Or do I really need a company policy? I've got like my client handbook and my employee handbook, and I've got some HIPAA stuff that I got somewhere. That's why I told you guys my mood at the beginning of this, because, you know, that way you can take what I'm saying with just like, you know, a grain of salt, because I'm not really trying to be as judgy as I'm coming across, because I know that not everyone listening is like, oh, I don't care about handbooks. But honestly, really,
what would be in this?
Like, I've got limited funds.
Yeah.
And limited time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm checking the things off that I need to become a network with insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all the things clinically because to provide the best quality services I possibly can.
Yes.
Why do I need this too?
Yeah, I do get that all the time. Like this is normal, and it makes perfect sense to me. Like, dude, I already have the client handbook, and I get all these ridiculous questions answered that have no, like, they have no bearing on how I'm going to treat these kids. And then I have all these crazy employee things that I need to get signed that, you know, I'll probably never use. And so now you're telling me I need this too. Like, why would I do that? And so that gets asked very often, and it makes perfect sense. So, The reason why you want company policies, and the best way I can explain what company policies are, is that it's really how the company or management is going to respond to your client handbook and your employee handbook, right? So examples of this are, there was an accident at work. Okay, well, yeah, we do the incident report, obviously, and, you know, obviously, if it's like crazy, right? Like an emergency, somebody's calling 911, right? And somebody's going in an ambulance and everybody's being saved. But at the end of the day, you need an incident report filled out. Great, we got the incident report filled out. Now what, right? And so the difference between having company policies and not having company policies is, if you have company policies, you are going to respond to an event. If you don't have company policies, you are going to react to a situation. And reacting tends to give unintended consequences. So it's really important that you have these things so that you can do it consistently and you can reduce your risk and just legal risk, right? Yeah. Let alone all of the other risks that we'll be talking about. So that's kind of the response. And then on the client side, you know, you have in your client handbook, you should have the client complaint process, right? So like if they have a billing complaint, if they have a therapist complaint, if they feel like their child is not progressing to the degree that they had hoped or whatever, right? Like it's important to get that feedback. So great, you got a complaint, they filled out your form or they emailed the right place or whatever. Now what do we do? Right. So how do we take this feedback? How quickly do we respond to the feedback? Who's going to respond to the feedback? And what if they don't like our response? Is there an appeal process? So all of these things you want in place before the first complaint, right? Before the first accident at work, before, you know, you get into these situations that unfortunately are probably going to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the last thing I'll say before we get into the excitement that's going to wake you up is this is standard stuff, right? I'm sorry, but it's like this is standard practice in a medical practice to have a company policy manual. It just is. And so if the company that you left didn't have company policies, I'm sorry. That's probably one of the main reasons why you left, right? Like to start your own. Like we hear this all the time is like, I'm leaving because I feel like I'm being put in an uncomfortable situation or I'm doing things that I don't feel like are the right things to do for my clients or my staff. And part of it is because they don't have these or they don't follow these, right? So like if these things are in place and they're being followed, these concerns should be reduced.
Well, I mean, that's where the reaction comes into play, right?
Absolutely.
Because if you're reacting, then, you know, you're not coming from a grounded place and you're
dysregulated and you're stressed, you're burnt out, you're overwhelmed.
Burnt out, that's also probably that reacting and constantly putting out fires. Yes, yeah. Things come up that there's not a plan for sometimes, and you do have that and you're going to deal with that. But like you're saying, if you have most everything planned for.
Yes.
But would they not have, I know you said medical practice, but would most, I've never really worked for a corporate organization, but would most like corporate organizations also have company policy manuals? It's pretty standard for a business, right? Like for any kind of business.
So especially if you have external revenue sources. So like, you know, in this example, like it's not like somebody's coming into your grocery store and, you know, your mom and pop a corner store and grabbing a Snickers bar, right? Like they probably don't have company policies. But when your primary source of income is like a corporation, like, you know, like when we were working in aerospace and automotive, right? We were working for, or our customer may have been GE or they may have been Ford or Chevrolet, right? And so these companies have their own set of standards on how they qualify vendors, right? And so when you're working for an insurance, like, I mean, we're not working for, but we are, right? So when our funding source is an insurance company, then they are going to have standards on how they qualify vendors. And you would be a vendor, right? Like they're paying you to provide service to their clients or their customers. So in those cases, many of these funders have requirements that you need to follow anyway. So yes, in these situations, and correct me if I'm wrong, audience, comment, I'll take your feedback. as long as it's good. But that does that answer your question, right? You should have these standards when you're working in a situation like that. Self-pay, I mean, should you have them? Probably too. Just again, to limit your risk and again, to make sure that you have the right policies in place when something bad happens. And the other thing I'll say is that it's for consistency's sake, right? So when you are burnt out, overwhelmed, stressed, and reacting to these situations, you may handle them differently.
Yeah.
And so that in itself can get you into some trouble, right? Yeah. Well, I wasn't treated like that as an employee, right? So we want to make sure that, I mean, I'm not saying it's because of bias or, you know, like discrimination, but like you certainly don't want it to be, you don't want it to be assumed that it could potentially be that either, right? So you want to eliminate even the question that could possibly be brought up. So we want to treat everybody equally, right? Our clients, our staff, everybody, right? They should be treated fairly and equally. Does that make sense?
It does. And that brings me to like wondering about like super small companies, like the ABAs who, the ABAs.
You've been talking to too many marketing dudes.
I know, right? You know, like
let's just start calling them ABAs.
The ABAs, everybody in So, but the BCBA who starts a company and they're like, oh, I'm just going to do this and hire a few techs. And then they're like, oh, hire another BCBA. So maybe at the end of the day, there's two, maybe three BCBAs. Maybe they have a part-time admin and they have like, you know, handful of techs. That's probably that size and smaller. That's when it's kind of like, oh, do I really need all of this stuff? Because I can just manage it. And I can't remember who we were talking to or if we were in a podcast or whatever, but like discussing like the micromanagement, like at some point, like you can no longer micromanage. Mm-hmm. But I wonder too, even if you're just super small, wouldn't it be nice to have a plan and take some of that pressure? Or maybe there's a, you know, some pressure off of you that it's like not necessary. Right. Even if you are small, even if you feel like you can't, you can do it all, be all the people. I don't know. Anyways.
I mean, so do you, yeah, I would highly recommend it. Again, you know, oh my goodness, we've done too many podcasts. I keep on referring back. So like, even when you're going about hiring people, right? And I've heard this from many RBTs, BCBAs that we've interviewed for our ABA company. And they're like, oh, wow, you have all of this stuff laid out, right? Like, it's easy to follow. It's understandable. And then there is a level of put-togetherness. Is that a word? Right? Where, like, you come off as calm, cool, and confident, right? Because you've got your stuff together. There's policies and procedures in place. They know where to go and how to do it. That gives the employees, I don't know, it just gives them a different level of confidence in a company like that, where they go to another startup where it's, you know, everything is like, oh, I don't know how we're going to do that. Let's do it this way this time, and let's do it that way, right? It's very inconsistent, cause a lot of anxiety, overwhelm. Do I even want to bring this up? Because, like, I'm going to get a different answer this time, right? So I would say, even for just that, right, to be, again, to be consistent with your team and make sure that you have things in place, I would say even for small. And then the other thing I will add to that, it doesn't really matter what size you are. If you're accepting a funding source like, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Optum, and Kaiser, and Magellan, even Medicaid, they will typically require, when you sign that contract, you're signing that you're following these things like HIPAA compliance. You're following, you have a client complaint process. You have a client process from start to finish. What does the intake process look like? How quickly will you respond once an intake has been completed, right? When are you going to notify them that they're on the wait list versus, you know, being accepted right now? All of those things, they need to be done, that it's, individualized care and how you make sure that it is individualized and mm-hmm. how you're going to collect payment. And, you know, like all of these things, they require that you do satisfaction surveys, right? So you have to have some kind of mechanism in place that this is done consistently. I would say, and the last thing I'll say on this, because I just thought of it, was, so, and I'm sure you've seen this too, right? I mean, you haven't been consulting as long as I have on this, but I think you've seen enough of it at this point where we'll talk to someone and they say, yeah, I'm staying small. It's just going to be me, right? It's going to be me, maybe one RBT. And then 6, 8, 9 months later, they're calling us up and saying, okay, I've hired my third BCBA, right? And so if you do it now when you're smaller, it's going to be way less painful mm-hmm. than when you have 15 employees and they've all gotten used to doing it one way. And now you're coming in and you're shouting commands from the top and saying, no, we're changing everything. Yeah. You're going to get a lot that's going to cause a lot of problems. Where had this been in place from the start, everyone would say, of course, I would do it this way. Right. So that's the other. It's just painful. It's very similar to. You realize, oops, I shouldn't have been paying these people as contractors, mm-hmm. right? And now I got to go and I got to change everybody over to W-2. Yeah. That's painful, right? So if you do it correct right from the start, we won't have this issue. So does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a very valid point.
Yes. So you're saying I'm right?
I'm a little tired. I may not know what I'm saying.
Hey, ABA business owners, struggling to navigate the complex world of ABA practice management?
You're not alone. We've been there. And that's why we created the ABA Business Leaders Membership. It's your how-to guide for everything you need to run a successful, ethical ABA practice.
From compliance to culture, from billing to hiring, we've got you covered with in-depth videos and insider advice you'll wish you had years ago.
Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to figure it out alone. Our ABA Business Leaders membership isn't just a guide. It's your growth accelerator featuring 34 CEUs to keep you and your team on the cutting edge.
That's right. Plus, you get exclusive access to content you can't find anywhere else. Think webinars, live Q&As, real-life success stories from practices making it happen.
And the community aspect is unbeatable. Imagine being connected to a network of ABA business owners, sharing, learning, and evolving together.
No more second-guessing your business decisions or wondering if there's a better way. With the ABA Business Leaders membership, clarity, confidence, and continuous learning are what you're signing on for.
So, if you're all in on elevating your ABA practice, join us. It's time your business not just survived, but thrived.
Head on over to 3piesquared.com and check out the ABA Business Leaders membership. Let's take your practice to the next level together. So again, this is standard practice for a medical company. And I am sorry to inform you, but if you're collecting money from an insurance company, you are a medical practice, whether you want to be or not. So that's just key, right? The other things that would be included in something like this is your mission statement, right? Your mission statement and your values would be part of this. Really one of the most important parts. And over time, you mostly, April, have convinced me how important mission statement and values can be, right? And so how we can embed this into the company's day-to-day operation and why it's so important.
So now I'm right.
Mm-hmm. We're both right. We're all both always right most of the time, 50% of the time. I don't know. 100% of the time, we're right 50% of the time. If you get that reference, like and subscribe.
Yes. All right. So... Yeah, if you're willing to play with it a little bit, like you can, like you said, like this is the place for you to showcase your mission statement, your values, but then you can also take, I don't know, maybe some of the most key elements that you find throughout the policy and like tie the values to it. You know, like, I can't even think of an example, but like if your value is integrity, mm-hmm. then, you know, like tie that back to why you have to do something a certain way, like maybe looking at documentation control and like, you know, that's how you, you know, practice and show your integrity is through like collecting accurate data and timesheets and all of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And following the ethical procedures for that or something. Yep. I don't know. Not a great example, but no, it was the best thing I could come up with on the top of my head. But you know, you don't have to, you don't have to like go through and nitpick every little thing, because that would be a lot. But you know, just, or at least having the understanding of how your values are into play throughout most of the policy. Some policies are in there because, well, I have to have it in here, and right. that's life. And sometimes we just have to have certain policies in to cover our butts and because insurance or whoever says so. And so they're in there, and you know, I'm sure it's great, wonderful, all of that, but it's there. But making the, you know, making as many as you can, like making them your own and really tying them to your own value system within your company can just help to get more buy-in and to help you to live out your values within throughout your company, right? Versus just the poster on the wall. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hear this often. We just did a podcast on it. Like, I took some time off for whatever reason. I came back to my company and I don't recognize it, right? And this can be part of that reason, because your mission statement and values have not been put into the day-to-day processes as much as you would like, right? You don't have the KPI to back up those processes. So I think that those things can be very helpful, right? And then, you know, you mentioned already, but like some of these policies, hopefully you never really have to use them, but they're there if you need them. But they're there for legal compliance. They're there for funding sources, rules and regulations. Some of these funders have in-network audits, right? So another podcast we did, Optum audit, right? So Optum, Kaiser are the big two. Sometimes Medicaid does an in-network audit. So they may even come to your clinic, or in our case, come to your home and do the audit. So making sure that you have all of those standards in place to meet those audits. And, you know, I will get the pushback, well, then fine. I'm just not going to go on network with those funders that require audits. Just because the funder doesn't require an audit, typically in that contract that you're signing, you're still required to do the vast majority of this stuff. Like we had already talked about, client complaint processes, satisfaction surveys, having some kind of mechanism in place if there's an incident within your clinic or in the home. You know, these things are just, did I already mention HIPAA compliance? And, you know, those things are still required of you no matter what. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes.
Cool.
Makes sense.
And then there are accreditation processes out there as well, right? I'm not mentioning any names. I'm not referring to anybody. So you can look them up. Do some Facebook searches. And you'll find them, and they also require this. And why do they require it? Because it's standard practice. It's just standard. These are the things that you're supposed to have in place. It's not like, oh, wow, I'm going above and beyond by having this company policy manual. I'm sorry to inform you. While I wish this was the case, this is bare minimum stuff, right? This is just what you do when you have a practice like this. These things have to be in place. It's not maybe if I get around to it. It's like, really, this is bare minimum stuff that you really should have in place before you start seeing clients, before you start hiring employees.
Totally. Well, so. So So tell me about operational efficiency. How do handbooks help with that?
I mean, again, if you're... some people like putting out fires all day long. And I will say it can be very, I don't know.
You get used to that, like, adrenaline, yeah, right? It's like, yeah. Good. And then, like, when there's not a fire and you have that mundane, like, you're like, oh, no. I miss that. Like, yeah. And some people even create drama to get that.
And even if you're, like, somebody listening and say, I don't like to put up fire, I would just analyze that a little bit and see. Maybe you do. So, like, but this, that, like, it will reduce the amount of time that you're just constantly going and putting out fires. Like, oh, I got another input. Like, it really will. If it's used in the way that it's meant to, this is where your staff goes before they come to you, right, with an issue. And again, it's just it's treating everyone the same, so they all have the same process. They're all doing it the same way. And so even when you're out, do you want to ever take a vacation? And if you do, then this is the way to do it, because whoever you put in charge, they're going to do it the same way that you do it, because it's in the handbook to do it this way. And then you can leave with some amount of confidence. Now, you may still have a company policy manual in place, and something crazy happens that you haven't thought of.
Oh, right. I
mean, but for the vast majority of the things that the day-to-day operation, that's where this should be in place, right? For these things that are just, again, you have your client processes, you have your employee processes, and then the last thing you'll say on operational efficiency is, like, maybe it's not a vacation. Maybe you got into an accident, and you know, you're in the hospital, and like, there's no calling you up and trying to figure out how we do this, right? Like, who's going to pay the electric bill? Who's going to pay your practice management software? You know, like, so having, this is part of that manual, is your continuity of operation policy, and you know, so listing out all of those resources that if you're out for a certain amount of time, that these things can still be paid for. Your employees are still going to get paid, right?
But everyone listening here, everyone's a superhero and they're invincible, and yeah, it's not going to happen totally, to them. Totally, so totally. They're good.
Yeah. So I mean, these are just things that I don't know. It's similar to like having a will, which we don't have, honestly. But like,
we're working on it.
We've been working on it for years. But like, but that's the thing, right? Like, so we're invincible. Nothing bad is gonna happen to us, right? And then it does. It happens, and now you're here, and your staff aren't being taken care of the way that you want them to be, and your clients aren't being taken care of the way that you want them to be. So these things will help with that, right? And so the idea, I assume, for most of the people listening here, is that you're not going to be working 60, 70, 80 hours a week every week for the rest of your life. You want to be able to have, like, you know, a regular work week. Oh man, I only worked 35 hours this week. Like, that would be the idea. And so you're not going to do that unless you have this in place. You just, you're going to be constantly dealing with the same stuff over and over again. So,
well, I mean, even just for like, if you think about it from a clinical perspective, it's might be a little bit of a stretch, but it's kind of like a treatment plan, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you tie in KPIs with it, then it's definitely like a treatment plan, because you're taking data on it and all that stuff, right? And monitoring the progress. Yeah. But this is like the program description, you know, like what's expected, you know, what materials do you need? What's expected? What's the intention? Why are you doing this? And then that way, it also like decreases like drift, right? Because if you check back in with it on a regular basis, right? And tying these into your like quarterly like values and mission statement checks, right? Maybe take, you know, split up the policies and do a few each time, right? So you're not doing all the policies and all the everything every three months. then you can just like check in and say, okay, oh, this, we're not doing it this way anymore. We need to update it. Or, oh, you know what? Like, this is like not even applicable to us at all. Why is it in here? Right. Does it have to be in here? And then maybe take it out, right? Because if there's just stuff that's in there and you don't know why it's in there, you know, like if it's like not a state regulation or not a funder regulation, maybe it's just something that was someone, one of our customers said, oh, why don't we put this in? And so we added it to the handbook and, you know, sent it out to everybody, but you don't need that. Take it out, right?
Talk to an attorney.
Well, I mean, there's, yeah, there may be reasons why I said, that's why I said state regulation or payer or reach out, you know, feel free to reach out to us too, right? And get some feedback. But the basic thing is like, you want it to be like a real, you want it to be, have meaning, right? And then like, I think I said for, I know, like, I tried to do this practice for, like, employee handbooks and sometimes for client handbooks, but referring back to them when people had questions, a lot of times I was pretty guilty of just answering the question, unless it was, like, the same question that was over and over again, then I'm like, hey, why don't you look at page 12 of the handbook or whatever. So that same type of thing might apply here. And now I have Stephen yawning, too. Instead of him giving me all of his energy and positive excitement over company policy manuals, I have now brought him down to the sleepy, yawny stage. But let's see, what else? I guess looking at documentation control.
Well, yeah, I just
You have something else about operational efficiency?
Well, I mean,
you, or just in general?
Yeah, I mean, what you were saying, you know, like make them your own and that kind of stuff, right? And take them out if it's not working. But like, these are living documents. And so like, this is another thing that I hear often. And it's not ABA company related. It's just like, this is general. Like, I've seen this so many times in the engineering field, like, you spend all this time getting these things up and ready, and now, okay, we have all these policies and procedures, and we call them work instructions for, like, certain step-by-step instructions. I think you guys call them, what, task analysis? Is that right? Anyways, so you got all this stuff going, and then you're like, ah, finally, now I can close the book, and I can put it up on the shelf, and it's all done, right? It'll never need to be done again. That's not how this works. So, like, these are living documents. So, you grow and change. Your policies and procedures are going to grow and change. Regulations change. Maybe you need to add more to your session notes. Then your policies and procedures are going to change because of that. So, yeah, like, this is just an ongoing thing. And we, like, again, I've seen this very quite often when you do internal audits. You just see that. It's not even so much drift. It's our requirements and our methods have improved, but our policies and procedures have not kept up with that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're actually providing better services now, but our old policies have not kept up.
Yeah.
So even
it could go either way. Yeah, yeah. You're right about that. Yeah.
So this is just something that you're going to have to do on an ongoing basis. And things like HIPAA, this is actually a requirement. So doing a risk assessment or a risk analysis, whatever you want to call it, every year is something that is you know, you need to do. So and then this would say, okay, have our policies and procedures changed? You know, like a common thing that happens with on the HIPAA side, which is, this is not HIPAA, but I just wanted to make you aware of it, is that, you know, we did this. So we had one app for messaging staff. We had another app for emails. We had one for cloud storage stuff. And we had a different one for documents. And it was just a bunch of chaos, right? And especially if you had to let someone go or someone left, it's like, what apps do we have to shut down again? Right. And it took a lot of time. And anyway, so then we moved to Microsoft 365, which was way better. Right. More secure.
All it had same
all
place.
The all in the same place. It was much easier process. Everybody there was one place for all the documents. And it was much better. Right. It, hands down, like so much better. But we still had to do that risk assessment and change our policies, our data backup policy, you know, all of these things had to be changed to meet the new standard that we had put in place. So it was just, you know, as things change and shift and grow and you change practice management software, whatever it is, you're going to have to modify and update those handbooks. So This is no different. Mm-hmm. So yeah, document control. Just like I described, you know, the situation of, okay, there was an accident at work. We filled out the incident report. And now how are we responding to this? Who's the safety officer? How do we put something in place so that maybe this is preventable and it never happens again? Or, okay, we got a client complaint. How are we going to respond? How quickly? What if they don't like our response? Document control. When we do have to update our handbooks for whatever reason, our behavior no longer matches the policy, so we change the policy, or we're updating systems and we have to change things, how do you notify your staff that there has been an update in these handbooks? How do you get rid of the old versions of these policies to ensure that staff are now using the newest version of it, right? So this is how you control documents. And while it may seem like silly, I'm super small, I don't have to control anything, I'm just going to tell everybody, like, this happens quite often. And I guess the most common thing that I have seen this using is employment issues. So, you know, Sally, the RBT, who's not working out, and you're going to fire them because they're not following policy at ABC.
Sorry, any Sally's out there for RBTs.
I use Sally quite often. So how about
Edna? Grandma Sally.
How about Edna? I'll use Edna. So Edna's not working out, and you're gonna have to fire them. I'm just thinking Bluey, right? They use Edna.
Yeah, that's right. Edna. The grannies. Is that she one of the grannies? You gotta fire the granny.
Yeah. See. Anyways, so not working out, and then you know they want unemployment. You're like, absolutely not. And so now we're in a fight with the state unemployment, and they bring the old policy ABC and say, well, that's what I was following, but you have the new ABC policy. So we just want to make sure that there's some way that we can get rid of those old policies and procedures, and get acknowledgement that your staff or your clients are now using the new policies, right? So like on the client side, you'd be like, you can't come up with anything for the client. Financial responsibility agreement is a big one, right? So did you update your fees? Are you charging more for late payment or a cancellation without notice, right? Bounce check. Maybe your bank is charging you more now for a bounce check. So you have to then in turn charge the client more. So these would be things that you would update in the client handbook that you would absolutely want document control on so that you could get that updated version and put it in their file. So you need some kind of method for when you do add a policy, change a policy, remove a policy, that that there's some acknowledgement that your staff and clients have seen these things.
Yeah. So I fought Steven on this one pretty hard years ago because I like to have paper. Sorry, trees. Sorry, all the trees I killed. I like to have paper handbooks and manuals and blah, 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 right? And I'm like, I'll have this and I'll put it in a binder, like at the admin desk at the front, and people can, like, this would be like the office copy that we can refer to, and I'll make sure that all the clients have a signed copy of their handbook and have it, like, in a place in their house where they can access it. But when you update it, that's a lot of updating to make sure that you're removing that old paper handbook. And you might not be able to, right? Because your employees taking one home with them, the clients have one at their house, whatever, right? There's no way. And so, and it was also, I don't know, like more challenging, I think, to get those signatures. And people, okay, fine. You're giving me another handbook. Okay. Or we would just not print out the whole new handbook, right? And we're like, oh, we'll just print out the new policy. That got messy, right? And so, like, once we had electronic, you know, then we made sure we kept on file. It was easier because we could bring the tablet to the session, you know, and the tech or the BCBA, whoever, like the staff member, if they were going over with a client, you know, could say, here, this is a new policy. Let me go over with you and get the signature. And then it's like there, right? And then on your website or your portal or wherever it is that you need to have the updated version, then you just switch it out. Why? What's the face?
So I bought you on it. All of you listening right now, because every time you talk, I start to yawn. So I want to know, like, you have to take a tally and give us the data on this. When I'm talking, how many times have you yawned versus April? How many times? Your low energy is bringing me down. Anyway, I want to see those comments. What are you doing?
Even the podcast puppy is bound to sleep.
So, but yeah, so like, and you
it
can
could
feel,
be the content.
It could be the content. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Handbooks. I think we need to get up and do like a Bluey dance party and move our energy.
Sounds good. Are we allowed to say Bluey unless?
I don't know. Okay. Trademark, copyright, the blue dog cartoon on Disney. Yeah. Can we say Disney? I don't know.
Yeah, you see, you're ruining it now. We're going to get a copyright strike. So you could still print off if you have a procedure for that, right? And so we like my previous workplaces, we would print off
non-ABA
print off like standardized work instructions that would then change over time, and that we had a way to remove them from it. And the idea here was that you had to print them off every time, right? And did we do that? No. But that was what the policy that they did, right? So, like, if you had a task that to do, you had to print off that document every single time you wanted to use it.
Okay, so as we're talking about this, I have a pet peeve.
Yep.
It's not about company policies, but it's directly, but it is about employee, client policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, this would happen in our own company too. Mm-hmm. And I had to like try to stay on top of it, but the client guardians or the client, depending mm-hmm. on, and the client and the mm-hmm. guardian, depending on the age and level and stuff like that, the appropriate party should have access to a copy of the handbook.
Yes.
Sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes they don't like it, especially if there's like barriers for like technology or mm-hmm. barriers for, you know, having a computer in the home or, you know, or if they do, they did sign it electronically. How are you getting that? How are you getting them their copy?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that them having a copy means that they have a paper copy and you have to keep up with that.
Yeah. Yes, it may. And just know that they're, just like with everything, there's going to be some risk here, right? And so the risk in this situation is that they're reviewing, and maybe even like with the best intentions, they're reviewing the old policy, and they're like, well, why did you charge me $40 for this late payment? It's only $20 in my handbook, right? And then you just have to say, look, we have your signature on this latest thing, this is our new policy, right? And then, you know, maybe you're like, okay, fine, we'll cut you some slack here, or, you know, but this is just something to be aware of, that this is the risk that's involved when you have printed uncontrolled copies. That's it. Now, maybe when you print them off and you say, this is a, you know, this is an uncontrolled document, please refer to your you know, XYZ policy on here, right? On this website, right? Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're talking to an attorney if you can do that, right? But there are ways to get around it to reduce the risk of what you're wanting to do, because if the burden is so much by what you have implemented that your clients can't get quality access to care or the information that they need, then you have created too much burden, right? So we need them to be able to access it in an easy, meaningful way. So yes, however you do that, go ahead, do it. Just realize that there is some risk involved. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it makes sense.
Okay.
It feels overwhelming.
I mean, it is. Yeah. We're going to go into our handbook here in a second. Ta-da! But yeah, it is overwhelming. When I show this to people that have not listened to us or have not seen videos of our handbooks, they're like, what? Wait, what? Like, this is 260 pages. The employee and client handbook are in here too, right? And I'm like, no, those are like also 100 pages each. And they're like, what? Like this is, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot for a single BCBA to have to fill out and deal with. And you're like, what in the world? No, this isn't what I signed up for. It's not why I wanted to do this. I don't want anything to do with this. And again, I regret to inform you that the vast majority, when I talk to people, that I get pushback on, it is understandable pushback that I get, right? It makes perfect sense to me. But the vast majority of the policies and procedures in all of our handbooks are either state, fed requirement, they're a funder requirement, or because we get free updates in our handbooks, they're customer feedback. Look, I see the energy that I'm bringing to this podcast. They are client requests because something crazy or different has happened in that situation. Are you listening to me, or are you walking the dog?
When Steven started talking to the dog, she's like, but she had this like disoriented, like, what?
Yeah, it's just energy. I'm bringing so much energy.
And now she curled back up into a very tight ball and has her head tucked in. She's like,
But does that make sense?
It does. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. It's very normal to feel that way, and it is a lot. And that's why we're here to help you.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. And so, we talked about the last point is expertise and credibility. And so, again, when you have all of this stuff laid out for your staff that come on, there's just this level of trust and confidence that you're giving them, because now they have something that, oh, the client asked me a question. I don't know how to answer this. I'm going to wing it. No, they don't have to, right? They can say, here's the policy. Like, this is what we do. This is how we do it, right? And it's like, oh, okay, that's the policy, right? It's just, this is the way it's done, and this is why we do it. And why are we doing it? Because it promotes your company values. It promotes your mission statement. So that's really it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed this. And I do want that data. I want that data collected on yawns. How many yawns were on my positive, perky voice, and how many yawns were on April's ASM voice? Is that what it's called? ASM? Where they go, hi. How are you doing? And then
I don't know. We digress. This podcast is going off the rail. My face is like so red. I think I need to take a nap. I don't know. It's like
we have another podcast to record after
this. Yeah, I know, but look how good my face is. All right. Well, everybody,
have a wonderful day. And, liking and subscribing really does help. Sharing, it really does help. Our goal right now is to get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers. So please, please help us get to 1,000. And have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.